If you will quickly turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're going to finish our last of the nine reminders to remember God. This word remember is a verb that appears in Ecclesiastes 11 beginning at verse 8 through chapter 12 and verse 7 specifically. A very strong verb in the Hebrew, zakar, which means to cause to remember, or to put it this way, to engage the will to never forget. This is a very strong word, and it is emphasized specifically with young people. You'll find this to be true, and especially in verse 1, remember thy Creator in the days of thy what? Youth. And then it goes on in this passage to describe what? Old age. Isn't that interesting? The emphasis is this. There needs to be a deliberate remembering of the Lord in youth before old age comes. And we've seen this description through here. We looked at these last time, and we're not going to take time to review. I want to go right to the last one here in the few minutes that we have together, and that's found in verse 6. Remember your Creator earnestly now. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Before the silver cord of life is snapped apart, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Very interesting language there that's used. Speaking of a well, what does a well bring up? Water. And it's describing the function of what may break down in that process. You have the bucket, which is what goes down into the water. You have the cord that holds that. You have the wheel assembly that's used to crank the bucket down. So it's describing there what many believe to be the entire circulatory system of the human body, all that's involved with that, and it ceases to function. So clearly, the statement here of the silver cord of life, many, including John Wesley and others, have said that refers to the spinal cord, but the Hebrew word means to sever. The silver cord is severed or cut. And so many scholars believe that that's not referring to the spinal cord, because that would not make sense with what's being said here, but rather the separation of the soul and spirit from the body. The silver cord being cut or severed to where that spirit and soul leave the body, and it falls through here because every description that's given in verses 6 and 7 deals with death, the death of the body. Verse 7, then shall the dust of which God made man's body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. So you have the cutting of the silver cord of life, the separation of the soul and spirit from this body, and it escapes. If it's a believer, it escapes to God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now the emphasis is this, remember the Lord before that time. Make it a part of your life. So when this happens, it will not be a panicked individual, but rather one that's eager to meet the Lord. I tell you, I think one of the most worthwhile purchases that I made in college was a little book called The Last Words of Sinners and Saints. Herbert Lockyer wrote that book way back in the 1800s. And it was a record of, from that time, those words of sinners and saints, great men, great women, martyrs specifically from the Spanish Inquisition, but also more present ones from that day, of the record of their last words. And it's an amazing thing to read of saints that did not have morphine. They did not have anything to assist them at the end of life. They just faced death without anything to stop what was taking place. Any consciousness is what I'm trying to say of what was taking place. And it was amazing, the words of the saints. As they would cry out and they would say, I see the Lord. I see the Lord. And they would describe of their eagerness to go into His presence. And then of those that were sinners, of their screeching and their wailing and their crying out, of hearing, of feeling the searing flames about them. Someone help! Someone help! And you read those words, and sometimes as I've read that book, I've just had to stop. It was so horrifying. to read, but also when you read the saints of how glorious it was. I am afraid, and I don't want to be unkind in any way, shape, or form, but I'm afraid we've missed that today in our end-of-life pattern that we've gotten to now, where we basically just put them out. They have no consciousness, and we think, well, we're helping them, but I don't know what we're leaving to those that are behind. I don't know what we're leaving behind. Are we leaving? Back in those days, there was something left behind. Some remembrance of that person as they shared their last words. And now there's such a separation now in that time period because of all the drugs. And I certainly don't want to see anybody suffer. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm afraid we've missed some of that in our generation today, that there's been no connection, especially with children and grandchildren. I'm going to tell you something. There's some godly people that need to leave behind some words for some children and some grandchildren. And I have read that book of those that were charged on a deathbed, a grandchild that was charged about loving the Lord Jesus and being able to serve Him and so forth, that gets missed today because of all of the things that we blot out about death. We need to remember the Lord. So when that time comes and the silver cord is broken, we will have lived our life to that point where God has been remembered, not forgotten. So that transition from this world to the next is not one of horror, but of what? Utter glory. You know, we've been told a lot of things about death. We read a lot of books today. I've read a few of them about these end-of-life experiences that people have and the white light that they see and things of that nature. And who knows, with the drugs that are used today, what they've been seeing. But I do know this, that for the child of God, are you listening? For the child of God, the shadow of death is but a shadow. All right? Are you afraid of your shadow? You know, as kids, we used to walk along in the sunshine and you'd see your shadow. And my boys, this is what they do to me, old man that I am. I'm walking down the road back a few weeks ago, and I got Brian on one side and I've got Jonathan on the other, and the sun, this was in the morning time on a Saturday, we're walking back and our shadows, and both of them said, "Look, Dad, our shadows are taller than you." Right? And I said, "At least I'm not afraid of my shadow." But anyway, you know, you as kids you did that, you know, and you would see the shadows that your figure would cast on the ground with the sunshine. But there's nothing to be afraid of, is there? And for the child of God, it's a quick passage from this world to the next, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And in that passage, I believe for the child of God, there's a remembering of where you're going. You're going into the presence of the Lord. What a glorious thought that's going to be able to leave this world and all the troubles and all the sicknesses and all the trials that we go through and the people that make our lives miserable, you know, that we will leave this all behind and we'll stand in His presence. And we will be able to say, as we look upon His glorious face, the One who died for us, the One who shed His precious blood, "Lord, I remembered You throughout my life." But there are going to be some, sadly, that may stand, and I say may, because I don't know the human heart, that may stand and say, "Lord, I wish I had remembered You." Because they'll look around and they'll see all the beauties of heaven, and only one person will be responsible for that, it's Jesus Christ. You understand that? You're not going to get to heaven and say, "Lord, what did You think of my life that I lived?" You're going to be standing before the God of the ages that breathed into your body the breath of life, and you're going to melt in His presence at His glory and His grace, and you're going to be so happy to be in His presence. And you can start by being in His presence now. Could we get that into our hearts about not waiting? "Oh, one of these days I'm going to take time to do that." How foolish. How foolish. We spend so little time preparing to be with the Lord and yet so much time preparing for everything else. And we're not remembering Him. As we said at the beginning, this word is not a passing remembrance. It's not something that just skirts through your mind and said, well, that's great. I remembered the Lord today. I spent my 2 seconds in prayer before breakfast, and I got maybe a little bit longer for lunch, and I remembered the Lord today. You're foolish if that's what you think this is talking about. This is a consciousness throughout the day that every minute is a gift from God. Every minute. And that He's the one that is deserving of all the praise and all the glory. And we've got to get past our selfishness. And we've got to get past our pride. And we've got to cast that before Him and say, Lord, crucify that. I want to be identified with Your crucifixion. Would You crucify self? And let me think and meditate upon the Lord. I think we'd have different churches in America, don't you? I think we'd have different attitudes about death in our churches. We've got people in our churches today that are scared to death, of death. And for the child of God, we don't have a death wish, but we know that the stinger has been taken out. There's no stinger. Jesus Christ dealt with the stinger. All right? And so I need to remember Him now. So when that moment comes, I don't have to do a last rites. I don't have to do this wailing and crying and all this kind of stuff. I can pass from this world to the next into the arms of my Savior. And I've asked the Lord that He would help me to prepare for that minute, that I will be conscious. And I can tell those all around me about how wonderful it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ because I remembered Him in life, not just in death. That's what we need in America today. It's what we need in fundamentalism, what's left of it. That's what we need in our churches. It's what we need in our homes, is a conscious, daily, hourly remembering of the Lord. I will not forget Him. I love Him, and I want to serve Him. And I want His Word to be in it. Don't tell Him you want to love Him and serve Him and then don't spend any time in this. You're lying. You don't spend any time in His precious book. That's how He speaks to you. That's how He communicates with you. That's how you remember Him and all of His glory, because His glory is manifested in this book. And so we've got to spend time in this book if we're going to remember Him. And so I pray that this simple little series of 9 things to remind us to remember will help you. So when you start feeling those aches and pains, it's a reminder to you, well, time is short. I better do what? Remember my Lord. Because it may come to the time I can't do that anymore. And the silver cord will snap. And we go into His presence. I want to go in with my head up, so to speak, and not go in with my head down because I'm bemoaning the fact that I wasted so much time thinking about myself, thinking about my plans and my ambitions and what I want to do. I want to spend my time thinking about the Lord and how I can better serve Him and be ready to meet Him. There's no guarantee that you got 50 more years. There's no guarantee you have 5 more minutes. That's how quickly life can end. And so may God help us to be ready to meet Him. Father, we thank You for these reminders in the book of Ecclesiastes to remember Thee. Lord, forgive us of the sin of carelessness. Forgive us for spending so much time on things that matter very little, mostly selfish endeavors, thinking about ourselves, thinking about what we're going to do, thinking about this, that, or the other. Now, we don't shut down operations, Lord, and occupy our time only with sitting before Thee. We understand that there's work to be done. But there needs to be a consciousness in our daily walk of Your presence, and of desiring Your will to be performed in every decision of life. Help us, Father, to get serious about this matter, so that when death comes, we can slip the surly bonds of this earth, as we've heard a poet write, and stand in Thy presence, knowing that we have remembered Thee in life, and we will remember Thee in death, and we will remember Thee for all eternity, for we will be in Thy presence. What a glorious day that will be. Bless us now. Help us to be the right kind of Christians in this world, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.